Turn with me, if you would, back to Isaiah 61. I had a brother tell me that this verse of Scripture was blessing his heart. So I turned over to it and read it, and it blessed my heart. Verse 10, Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That is reason to rejoice. Man, that's reason to rejoice. He said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has clothed me in his blood. The garments of salvation. And he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. And if you have a center margin in your Bible, it says, decketh as a priest. He's clothed me with righteousness as a priest. And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. God's people rejoice in the covering that Christ has provided for them. They rejoice over the forgiveness and the perfection that Christ has provided for them. Forgiveness in his blood. In his blood. And perfection in his righteousness. They greatly rejoice in what he has done for them. God's people are not just churchgoers. They rejoice in the Lord. They gather to worship God. They gather to glorify God and rejoice in Christ. Their souls are overjoyed because of him. All because of him. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord because of what he came to do for his people. What did he come to do for his people? What did he come to do for his bride? Well, this is him speaking in verse 1. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I had a great uncle, my dad's uncle, Harold Stonaker was his name. And he was a tail gunner in a B-24 bomber in World War II. And his plane was shot down. And all the crew, I believe there was 10 men in one of those planes, all of them jumped out. He was in there on his gun, and one of his crewmen tapped him on the shoulder and signaled, we're jumping out. And he lived in Tupelo, Mississippi, and it was right on the way. I grew up in Nashville, and we'd go down to, my family lived in Louisiana. And so we'd stop about once a year. And this story is the only thing I ever remember coming out of his mouth. This is all he talked about. The day that B-24 was shot down, and he used to say, I made two jumps that day. I made my first jump and my last jump. But that whole crew landed behind enemy lines, and they were all taken prisoner of war. And the conditions were terrible. He talked about those conditions, and they were fed just above starvation. And he was a prisoner of war for 2 years. 2 years. And he said, Every day he just dreamed of the day his liberation would come. If he could just get out of this place. And he said on the day that those U.S. soldiers stormed that prison camp, he said, we all... It made me think of what David said. Just listen. David said in Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. This can't be happening. Can you imagine the joy as they went out of that place? Can't you see them in all their two-year-old rags, their ripped, torn rags, receiving brand new U.S. military coverings? Verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the weak. That's what meek means. Humble, low, weak. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to do every bit of that for them. Every bit of that for my bride. Now, these scriptures led me to something that I'd like for us to look at tonight. They led me to Luke chapter 4. And the reason is because that's where the Lord stood up in the temple and preached this very passage of scripture. And as I read it there in Luke 4, there was something I just couldn't help but dwell on. Let me show it to you over in Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And let me just go ahead and tell you, what got my attention was the line, as his custom was. As the desire of his heart was. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And just see if you can enter into this. Every Sabbath day, he was in that temple worshiping God. I mean faithful, faithful, faithful. He was a member of that congregation. They saw him every week, just like we see each other every week. They knew him from a boy. For 30 years, watched him grow up. And now this is the beginning of his ministry. And he comes back into the temple, and this time they ask him to read Scripture. They call on him to read Scripture. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. This is the only time you want the eyes of every person there to be fastened on the preacher. Our goal is to remove ourselves. We don't want to have any part in this. But they couldn't help it. They were all fastened on this preacher. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Gracious words. They all wondered at the words of grace that proceeded out of his mouth. His words are words of grace. And the reason is because he is grace. When we talk about God's grace, we're talking about God's Christ. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about Christ. He is the good news. He is God's gift for sinners. He's the only remedy they'll ever have. The gospel is a person. The gospel's a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we see this person, we have seen the gospel. If we hear this person, we have heard the gospel. To know the truth is to know him. That's why we're here. That's the reason we're here. We are here to know him. We are here to get to know him. We're here to know more of him. We're here to hear more of him. When the Father calls his people to Christ, when he calls, quickens, and calls a child to Christ, when he reveals Christ and they see Christ, this is what happens. They fall in love with him. They fall in love with him. It happens every time. They become enamored with him. They dwell on him. They greatly rejoice in him. We dwell on who he is. We search, we dig and we search for more of what his mind is and more of what his heart is. We search for more pictures. That's what we do when we study. We're looking for more pictures. We listen for more words. We cry with the Apostle Paul, oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might know him. Everything else is dung. I just want to get to know him. I love the scriptures that tell us that he rejoiced in spirit. What that means is something blessed his heart. Something in that moment blessed his heart. He rejoiced in spirit. I love the scriptures that say he laughed. I love that. That's the personality of someone. Whether or not a person laughs a lot or whether they're real serious, that's their personality. Well, what is his personality? What is it like to be in his presence? What is it like to be in his presence? That's what I want to know. What is it like to be in his presence? What does he do and what does he think and what does he feel? I'd like for us to take the rest of our time. I'm going to try to not go over. I want us to take the rest of our time skimming through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, getting to know him. Through his word, let's see if we can get to know more of him, who he is, what he's like. Let's begin with Matthew 4. Go with me over there to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to preach the gospel. He had a heart to preach the gospel to people. He did what he wanted to do. And he wanted to preach the gospel to people. That's what he said in Luke 4 and Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do this. The Lord's Spirit is on me to do this. And we just read in Luke 4 that he preached to people with gracious words. Truthful words. The Pharisees didn't like what he had to say because they didn't like the truth. But he was a gracious preacher. He was a gracious preacher. It says the common people heard him gladly. They listened to him. Would you like to go hear him again? Oh, yeah, I'd like to go hear him again. I would gladly hear him again. Everything about him was gracious. His countenance was gracious. His tone was gracious. Every person who truly heard him, I mean every person who truly in the heart heard him, said, no man ever spake like this man. He was and he is a preacher of grace. And he is a gracious preacher. I can't wait to hear him. I cannot wait to hear him. He's the most gracious preacher you'll ever hear in your life. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, he was a preacher and a teacher. You have to have a lot of patience to be a teacher. We have some teachers in here. It takes a lot of patience to be a teacher. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. The scripture says the long suffering of our Lord, his patience. That's our salvation. His patience. We're going to see that in just a second. Right here in Matthew 5, this message is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's three chapters long. As soon as he ended the message, it says in chapter 8, if you look with me at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this is who he is. This is what he is like. This is what he did. Verse 3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Yes, I most certainly will. He delights in healing the sick, even those who are sick with sin. He delights to show mercy. He came to heal the sick with sin, spiritually and physically. He delights to heal his people. Every sick soul that they brought to him, he healed every one of them. Every one of them. I wonder how long he was out sometimes healing the sick. I wonder how much time he spent healing the sick. They just kept bringing them. They just kept bringing them. One would be healed. And how many do you think he went and told? How many people cried, come see a man? And they kept bringing them and kept bringing them. At times the disciples said, Master, you need to take a rest. Never did he turn one sick soul away. Never. Not one soul who came to him begging for help. He never has. He never will. He never will. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, verse 1 says, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Where are we going to get bread? There's nothing out here. And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. Perfect number. He came to fill the hungry. That is the desire of his heart. He desires to fill the hungry. He said, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, because it is the desire of my heart to fill them. They are going to be filled. He is able to fill to the uttermost. But this is what I want us to enter into. He had compassion in his heart to do it for them. He thought on them. He cared about them. Everything originated with him. He is the loving, caring, compassionate God and Savior. Now here's another example of his patience. Look with me at Mark chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and he arose from thence and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, as he was used to doing, he taught them again. He taught them again, he taught them again, he taught them again, he taught them again, he taught them again. That's what he's doing for us right now. He is teaching us again. He is so patient. He is so kind. Do you remember when John sent the disciples to the Lord asking, are you the one that should come? John recognized him from his mother's womb. And now here he is later saying, are you really the one that should come? He said, go show John again. He didn't upbraid him. He didn't rebuke him. He said, go tell him again. Preach it again. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Turn with me to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 1 says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's who he has chosen to eat with. That's who he's chosen to dine with and commune with. And aren't we so thankful? Aren't we so glad? That's what we are. That's what we are. Look with me at John 11. John 11, verse 1 says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He came to love His own. He whom thou lovest is sick. They knew the Lord loved him. He had proven it to them. He showed it to them. He told them. He was affectionate with them. He whom thou lovest is sick. Look at verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And our Lord started crying. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. What's in his heart? True love for his people. True love. Chapter 13 says, Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And that's the reason we so greatly rejoice in the Lord. It's because he loved us all the way to the end. He said, Father, I pray for them. I pray for them. I think about that all the time. I ask that all the time. Lord, pray for me. Would you pray for me? He said, My desire is that they might be with me where I am. That's what he wants. He said, I'm going to keep them safe. Until that day, I'm going to keep them safe. Look with me at John 18. Verse 1, When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Don't you love that? I entered into something reading that today. Everything he did was that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he is the scripture. Everything he ever said must be fulfilled. That saying that had to be fulfilled, he just said it in John 17. Immediately it had to be fulfilled. Everything he says must be fulfilled. And he said, Of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Verse 12 says, Then the band and captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Verse 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. For this cause came I into the world. This is what is in my heart to do for my people. Chapter 19, verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now look with me at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Always caring. Always considering, always watching out for his people, even at that moment in time. Verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. He was not there. He had risen. He fulfilled all the work. Rising, he justified freely forever. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Now watch verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Wouldn't you love to know what those things were? Wouldn't you love to know what those things were? Wouldn't you love to know more about him? More about the Lord Jesus. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And he said in John 21, he asked Peter 3 times, Do you love me? Peter said, Yea, Lord, I love you. He said, Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Lord, what do they feed on? They feed on me. They feed on hearing about me. They feed on getting to know me through my word. I love telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love telling people about Christ. This is my favorite subject. I love telling things that he has revealed concerning himself in his word. But on the day that he comes back, there won't be any more preachers telling anybody about him. He's going to tell them himself. He's going to tell all things himself. He's going to tell us all about himself, who he is, what he's like, and what he's done. And there is so much more to come. There is so much more to come. All right, this is the last verse. Verse 25 in John 21. It says, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." I'm so thankful for this book because it's all about Him. It tells us what He did, who He is, what He's like. And there's so much more to come that if it were possible to write it all in books, this world, it couldn't even hold all the books. It'd reach, you know, the ozone layer, and they just all start floating out into space. You could not, there's no way you could exhaust who He is, what He's like, and what He's done. And you know what God's people say in anticipation of that? Amen. John couldn't help it. John had to say it too. He, under the inspiration of God, he started writing this, and he cried, "Amen. So be it. I can't wait. Tell me more about the Lord Jesus Christ. More about Him." We're going to sing that. Let's all stand together.